I said, is it dead in your life? Because if it's not dead, it's going to show up on you. Amen? In ancient Rome, if you murdered somebody, they would make you wear the dead person on you. And that death would eat you alive, and you would carry it around until you die. If that old man is still on you this morning, that death is going to eat you alive until you're dead, just like the old man is. Amen? So I want to know this morning, is the old man dead in your life? I want to know who controls your life. Is it the flesh? Is it the world? Or is it the devil? If you choose the wrong one that's in control of your life, you're in trouble. Amen? Because we all have a choice about who's in control in our life. Your life will be out of control and less than pleasing if you're not serving the Lord. But praise be to his name. He does allow new beginnings. Amen? The scripture says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we no longer be slaves in sin. Amen? I'm going to talk about a great man of God this morning. His name was David. Hallelujah. I'm going to set it up where David was already the king, but sin has given him another temptation and given him another desire. Amen? So he's standing out on his porch one day, and he's looking out, and he sees this beautiful woman, and he goes back inside, and he comes out another time, and he sees her again. And this temptation inside of him starts to build up. Amen? You see, let me tell you a little something about temptation. It don't happen right away. It builds up. And if we're not wise enough to move away from it, it just keeps building up. It keeps building up, and it keeps building up. Amen? As Christians, we're supposed to see this, and we're supposed to move away. It says, resist the devil's temptation. Amen? And he will flee from you. David didn't do this. So David, as we all know, had the man killed, had the woman's husband killed, and he married her. Amen? He's going through some trials and some tribulations, and he wants to know, well, what's going on? But the real thing behind David is that he's sitting on his throne, and he's thinking that he's gotten away with it. How many times have you sat somewhere thinking that you got away with something because everybody else you think don't know what's going on? The only person you believe that knows is you. So you sit back on your chair at your desk, at work, at home, in your car, wherever it is, and nobody knows what you've done but you. At least that's what you think. So David is sitting here, and he believes that he had this woman's husband killed. He married her. He committed fornication, and then he married her. And he believes that he's gotten away with it. You see, but God had a different plan. He sent the prophet Nathan to him. Amen? And Nathan tells him this story. See, David says, well, maybe this prophet is coming to me because he's got something from the Lord from me. You know how sometimes we have these false expectations? You ever know that you're wrong and then somebody comes to you and you're going to act like, oh, well, you know, it ain't about what I did. It's got to be about something else. So David sitting up there, and he said, do you have something from the Lord for me? He says, I got a story for you. He says, there was, in this city, there was two people. There was a rich man, there was a poor man. He said, the rich man, he had plenty of sheep. He said, but the poor man only had one. And he loved this sheep so much, he had its own plate and water for this sheep. He treated this sheep like a daughter. That's how much he loved his one sheep. Now, the rich man had somebody coming to visit, a traveler. Instead of taking one of his own sheep to prepare it for him, he took the man's one sheep. And David jumped up and says, we need to kill that man. He needs to be punished. And Nathan says, that man is you. We're already always ready to put justice on somebody else. We don't look in the mirror. Nathan said, that man is you. How many times do we crush somebody? Do we talk about somebody? Do we put somebody else in their place? And the problem is us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This story about David is one of the saddest stories in the Old Testament. Just think about it. Here's a man, the scripture tells us that God says, I made you a king. I gave you wives of the old king. You got gold, you got riches, but you had to take that man's one wife. How many times have we been in situations where we had plenty and somebody had one or nothing? Come on, somebody. Where we had plenty and somebody had one or something, and instead of being gracious to them, well, they got one. They need to use their own. They don't need none of mine. Come on, somebody. Starting to get a little hot in here. I knew it would get hot in here when I started talking about this. But there's people that have so much, not because of you, but because God has blessed you. Listen, you don't get blessed like this. You get blessed like this. You get blessed like this. Whether tithes and offering, whether giving away something that somebody needs because you don't need it. We're so busy holding on to things, you can't take it with you. Oh, hallelujah. You can't take it with you. 3 great things that go on in this story about David. Amen? I want you to know that the first one, that it was a great sin that David did. It was a great sin because he knew better. You know, we sin and we know better. How many have sinned and you know better? Come on, I'm not talking to myself. You sin and you know better. Sometimes we sin and say, I'll repent later. I'll repent later. Who says you're going to have an opportunity later? If you don't know the time, how do you know that you have time to repent later? I'll repent later. Oh, my God. David's sin was dark and it was insidious. We know that when we sin, you know, I don't know about you, but I have sinned. And I have sinned and I have sinned. And when I sinned some of those sins, it was so dark around me. Matter of fact, I can't think of a sin that I did where it was light shining. Amen? I can't think of a sin that I did where there was light shining. And I say that sometimes I sinned and there was darkness because I knew the darkness and I felt the darkness. But sometimes we sin and other people see the darkness around us. You know, it's like people who smoke. You smoke cigarettes and you think nobody can smell it. Come on, church, I'm being real. Look, I'm not a saint. So you know years ago I smoked weed. I thought nobody knew I smoked weed. I smelled like weed. My clothes smelled like it. My hair smelled like it. My fingers were yellow. But I didn't think nobody knew. Bishop wanted to use my car and said, what are those holes in the seat? I looked down. I never noticed the holes. He says, what are those holes in the seat? My sin was being exposed. This is for those of us who think that we can sin and get away with it. It's going to be exposed. If it ain't sooner, it's going to be later. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You see, David thought that he got away with everything, but he was getting ready for the big fall. Because Nathan let him know that, listen, God knows that you're sinning. You're not going to get away with it. You're not going to die. But his seed died. Hallelujah. That says to me that when you sin and I sin, it doesn't necessarily have to be me. It could be my seed. That's why I say you're responsible for everybody around you. You're responsible for your husband, responsible for your wife, your children, your auntie, your uncle. You're responsible for all of them. Because God has placed you there for a reason. Amen? Nathan's story makes David look in the mirror. The word of God is a mirror that forces us to look at ourselves. I don't have to wonder why some people don't want to read the Bible. Because the word of God forces you to look at yourself. Amen? Because if I say something to you, you can disregard it. Amen? Oh, he don't know what he's talking about. She don't know what she's talking about. But the word of God is inerrant. It is the truth. It is 99.9% true to the original text. Some words and some things that we do, we can't even be 90% close to what we say. But the word of God is 99.9% correct to the text. So when you read the text and you read the word of God and you get a little uncomfortable, maybe it's saying something to you. Nathan holds up the mirror to David with his story that forces David to see himself. You see, David answered before he could even really think about the story. He was like, oh, we need to punish that man. Sometimes we speak before we think. When David spoke, he shut up and realized he put his foot in his mouth. Amen? It is a great sin because David knew better. It was a great sin because of his position as the king. When David sinned, the whole house of Israel suffers. Amen? All sin is great for this reason. All sin is a sin against God. I hold up this book because I want you to understand that there's something about this book. And in this book, about all of us who have sinned. They say that there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that happened under the sun is in this book. How you treat somebody who's treated you wrong is in this book. How people's characters are, what they do and what they say is in this book. How you should be when people mistreat you, talk about you. It's in the book. It is a reference. It is a dictionary. It is something for us to use, how to live. It's in the book. Amen? There is two scriptures that come to me when I think about this, about David. It says the wages of sin is death. I've heard that most of my life. Because I've been a preacher's kid, and the wages of sin is death. What are wages? The word wages means that you're going to get paid for your sin. Come on, somebody. You're going to get paid for your sin. You might not get paid now. but it's coming. You might not get paid in money, but it's coming. You might get paid in sicknesses. You might get paid in something as a result of your sin. If you do something too much, too long, something's going to happen. You could drink 20 glasses of water straight. You know what? You're going to get drunk. You don't believe me, do you? Drink it. Drink 20 glasses of water straight. See what happens to you. See if you can stand up. See if you can keep your balance. If you do too much for too long, something is bound to happen. The other scripture, it says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Have you ever seen somebody and you, the things that they do and the things that they say, you say that person has no soul? You ever heard somebody say that? They do have a soul, but they have no soul. That's because the devil has encapsulated that in darkness. It is black. There is no light in it. But God can change all of those things. God can change things around. When the light comes in, the darkness has to go. Because light and darkness can't be at the same place at the same time. Amen? God has never taken back those verses. But it says that Christ has died for our sins. So according to scripture, if you have sinned, maybe I'm not talking to everybody here, but if you have sinned, Christ is the way out. Christ will forgive you for your sin. Listen, sometimes you'll create some sins or you do some sins. Man is not going to forgive you. He's not going to forgive you, but God will. God will. We look at these people who committed mass murder in prison, and they say that God has forgiven them and they're at peace. And the world still wants to crucify them for something they did. But the God that I serve is a miracle-working God. The God that I serve is a forgiving God. The God that I serve loved me and everybody else that's been alive throughout all the time so much that he gave his only forgotten son. Amen? And there's so much that I have done. I'm going to stop talking about me. But there's so much that you have done. We like to say he's a God of second chances. No, he's not. He's the God of many chances. You've sinned more than twice in your life. He's a God of many chances. Grace and mercy abounds. If it was your second chance, you wouldn't be here. Amen? Second, if you know about the 51st Psalm, if you read it, you can hardly forget it. You see, when David wrote this, he had repented for his sins. I want you to listen to these words. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." That's to say that your sin is always before you. David knew that his sin is always before him. David could not forgive himself. His sin was before him, but God can forgive him. So he asked God, "God, can you forgive me for my transgressions?" Some of you fall into sin and you let the devil tell you, you are not worthy enough, that you're not good enough, that nobody's going to forgive you. But God will forgive your transgressions no matter how great they are. That bag that you carry around on your back, you don't have to carry it because God has forgiven you. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and purge me from my sin." It was a great repentance. And I want you to remember that repentance is not just sorrow. See, we sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for what I did. Forgive me. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. That's part of the beginning of repentance. Amen? You see, remorse is part of repentance, but it's not the whole thing. You gotta do more than that. Listen, you never truly repent until, with God's help, you turn away from sin unto God. This is repentance. You see, if you just say, Lord, help me, I'm sorry, I repent, but you don't turn away from sin, that same sin is waiting right there for you, because that's not enough. That is not enough. If it was enough, listen, maybe Jesus could have just showed up here on earth and left. But that was not enough. If he just came and showed up, you know, made an appearance and left to repent for our sins, maybe he could have did that. But see, he had to die on the cross with your sin and my sin. He had to get, not just die, but he had to get crucified. He had to get beat. He had to get whipped. He had to get torn down like a mortal individual. Listen, and he didn't even have to go through that. And Satan knew this. Remember when Satan was tempting him in the wilderness? He says, all you got to do is call your father. He'll send thousands of angels down to do this and to do that. I tell you right now, on the cross, before the cross, even when they were whooping him, he could have called thousands of millions of angels down to take care of all them little people that was doing these things to him. Matter of fact, if it was me or you, we would have called thousands of angels down to take care of those people who are bothering us. Sometimes people bother us and we call on the Lord, Lord, take care of my owner of this house right here. Just because my rent is late, he's harassing me. They're beating him to death. Beating him to death. He could have called the angels down, but he didn't, because he had a mission. Sometimes we got a mission from God. We go through some little aches and pains, trials and tribulations, and we're not looking at the big picture. We're not looking at what God has on the other side for us. But there's no gain without the pain. If you want painless salvation, painless living, I think that you're in the wrong place. You're listening to the wrong pastor. You're getting the wrong message. God didn't say that we would never suffer. He didn't say that we wouldn't go through pain. He said he'll be there for us. Jesus says, Father, if it is possible. He already knew what was going to happen. He seen it in his eyesight. He knew. He was there before the beginning of time. He knew what was going to happen. And still, he said in his humanness, Father, if it be possible. The man was sweating blood. Take it. Take it. And I'm sure God didn't want his son going through that, and he was ready. But then Jesus thought about the bigger picture. He said, if it is your will. See, when we go through things, we got to say, no, if it's your will. I know that you don't want this for me, but if it is your will. The enemy is the one that want to inflict the pain and the suffering on you. But he can't do more than God allows him to do. And God allows him to do it because he knows that you're big enough to go through whatever it is that the devil is going to give you. So when the devil comes after you, say, I'm a big enough to go through whatever you got to give me. I can handle it because my God will never leave me nor forsake me. When he left, he says, I will be with you always, even until the end. Did he say the end of time? He said to the end. The end of time, the end of your time, the end of my time, the end of the world, wherever you go. I don't care where you go. You could go to some country you can't even pronounce the name. He is there. Amen? That's why missionaries go to places that we dare not go to, because he is there. Whew. I don't know why you think. Third, a great forgiveness. David wrote the 32nd Psalm. I know we like to do the Psalms 23, but he wrote the 32nd Psalm. And he said, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. That's me and you. We are blessed because our transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. If you sinned, it says that he don't count it towards you. You know, I said I was only going to talk about myself, but you know, you usually got about three marks with me. First strike, I'm going to let you have it. Second strike, you know, I'm going to be watchful. The third strike, I'm ready to say you're out. Amen? But God doesn't count it against you. He doesn't say you got another strike and you're gone. He doesn't say you got another strike and you're dead. He doesn't say you got another strike and I'm going to whoop you. He doesn't say you do something else, I'm going to punish you. He doesn't do that. He don't count it against you. We count it. David knew that God did not count this. He said, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. He could have said, thank God that he's not counting this against me. He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. This is for you sinners and silent sin that think that nobody knows what's going on. God knows, but you sit there and you sit in silence and you groan all day long and your body and your mind and your spirit is wasting away because you're keeping silent. But if you confess with your mouth the sin that you did, God will forgive you. Not only that, it's out. The devil wants to keep you in secrecy. He says, for day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. He says, oh, there's nothing like the Lord having his hand placed on you. You know, you when you know what you know, what you know, and you want to act like you don't know, and God has got his hands on you, and he's waiting against you, and he's sapping all of your strength. And he said, come on, my child, I'm waiting for you to confess with your mouth. You know that I know, so you just need to say it. You need to get this load off. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. You don't have to carry this no more. Then he goes on to write, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. He said, I confessed with my mouth my transgressions and you forgave me of my sins. Oh, hallelujah. My question to you today is, why are you sitting in silence? Why are you holding all these things on? I would like to say you got 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag. And you know it's busted down at the seam. As you walk up and down the street, people can see it all over your face. Your family and the members know. The people closest to you know. You go to work and they say, what's wrong with you? Everybody know. The only person who don't know is you. Because you want to act like you don't know. And you start to believe it in your own mind that there's nothing wrong. But it's all over the place. David wrote it as he had been forgiven. The 32nd Psalm is a perfect picture of the one who has been forgiven. We are told that there is a covering for sin. What is this covering? You have tried to hide your sin. You can't do it. You think that you can hide your sin, but it will come forth. In the 32nd Psalm, we read that our sins may be covered. So I ask you today, is there something in your life that is wrong? Hallelujah. Is there some sin that you're trying to hide? Take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because you know that blood that he died on the cross with, that he shed, that covers everything. That you can name something right now. You can name whatever you want. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's covered. You murdered somebody, it's covered. You went around cheating on somebody on your marriage, it's covered. You stole some money, it's covered. Let me get a little more personal now. You cursed somebody out, it's covered. You talked about somebody, it's covered. You did somebody wrong, it's covered. You're worshiping another God, that ain't covered. Money's your God, house your God, all these other things your God, that ain't covered. When God is your God, it's covered. When God is your God, it's covered. He got some rules now, and he started with, thou shalt have no other God before me. Hallelujah. So you want to get covered today. Have no other God before him. Confess your sin to him today. It's covered. What you walk in here with, you leave it right here. You walk out a brand new person. He makes all things brand new. Amen? When Jesus died on the cross, God's heart was broken. Amen? But he said, this is my son who I am well pleased. And he never let go of that. When Jesus died, he looked at his father. He says, take me. And his father graciously took him back. Amen. He did it for me, and he did it for you. And he says to you today, no matter what it is, I got you covered. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah.